fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 19th day of April, Patriot Day. The purpose of today is to acquire a second stream of income, or if you pay attention to Professor McKinney, maybe 2 or 3 extra different streams of income. That's your purpose of the day. We have patiently waiting in the green room, my friend, Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest more than 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Communist Conspiracy. Jeff's website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at Amazon. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, the world continues to become a bit more bizarre, it seems like, with each passing day, doesn't it, sir?
I don't know. More of the same?
More of the same, but and slight variations here and there. Jeff, what is it just really on your radar, the top of your radar this morning, sir, that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I'm working on a piece about this whole situation where Russia is uniting against us, and they're building up their nuclear weapons. And there's a very interesting, you know, story out of Russia. Yuri Felchinsky, who wrote a book with the late Alexander Litvinenko, who was famously poisoned by Putin's agents with polonium-210, radioactive polonium, died on Thanksgiving Day, of radiation poisoning in 2006. He died in Great Britain in a British hospital. But Mr. Felchinsky has successfully predicted that Putin was going to move nuclear weapons into Belarus. And now he has some kind of source that's telling him that they're planning to use the nuclear weapons that are moved into Belarus against Poland and Lithuania, against 2 NATO countries. But the plan, he says, is for fake Ukrainian commandos to come and seize the nuclear weapons in Ukraine and launch them at the NATO countries, so that Putin could say, we didn't do it, the Ukrainians did it, to make it look like we did it, sort of thing. It's a very, very Russian story, because right. false flag is their right. thing. You know, they, if you go back in the history of the Soviet Union, false flags not only belong to Moscow's history, but also Hitler did it at the beginning of World War II when he had a fake Polish attack on a German radio station that supposedly justified his invasion of Poland in 1939. So, and you know, I've been asking experts what they think about this, and they're not paying enough attention to it because it's possible, and I'll tell you why. I think it's possible that he may be onto something. There's something the Russians and Chinese really want to know, and it's very hard for them to find out, that it might be worth setting off one or two nuclear weapons against a target, an American or NATO target. And that is, first, psychologically, what we would do if they did that. But second is, if we can respond, are we really able to respond with a nuclear retaliation against a base in Belarus? Because this issue of, we have not had a nuclear test. In the United States, the last nuclear test was in 1992. Britain's last nuclear test was 91. France's last nuclear test was 96. Russia supposedly hasn't tested, but there's been atypical earthquakes in Russia, and Russian scientists are working at the North Korean nuclear test site. So those tests are probably actually Russian tests, since the Russians, you know, I was told by an official of the International Atomic Energy Agency, it was his opinion that Russia had given North Korea its nuclear weapons. And that was a private, anonymous conversation. So, you know, Russia is testing. And I think China, you know, has been expanding its underground test. They just built a new tunnel in 2021 for their underground test site. So they are expanding it. China is going to begin tests, if they're not already conducting ones that are disguised as earthquakes. So, and then there's this question of the fuel and the tritium, and the fact that we in the 1990s under Clinton, we basically destroyed our own nuclear weapons industry. We could build a couple nuclear weapons a year in labs, but until we finish constructing our own, you know, reconstructing our own nuclear weapons industry, we're not going to be able to manufacture nuclear weapons until 2029, and maybe not even then, because the talent, the knowledge has been lost. It's not easy to constitute a nuclear weapons industry. And there's, when so much institutional knowledge, you know, the Cold War ended, and who was going to get a degree in this? Who was going to study to do this? There were no jobs, right?
Right, right.
So all of a sudden you have a generation just about a loss. You got a 30-year loss of, you know, the people retire, they go away, nobody trains new ones. It's very interesting. But in Russia and China, that didn't happen. They're producing new nuclear weapons now. Pakistan has a greater nuclear weapons manufacturing capacity right now than the U.S. does.
That's scary.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Very scary. And so, you know, there are, you know, the late Peter Pry, who died last year, one of the last things he told me was that there were experts, in fact, he said, in, you know, very old, formerly retired nuclear weapons experts, who were saying they didn't think any of our nuclear weapons could possibly work.
Really?
Because they're way past their shelf life. They haven't, you know, the virtual testing is a joke. And the procedures, the complicated procedures for maintaining them, they don't believe have been kept. And it now nobody knows. This is just an opinion. Other people differ and say, oh no, they do. We do know that the head of the strategic, you know, STRATCOM, Admiral Richards, back in, who was then the head of it back in 2020, testified before Congress in February of that year and said, you know, within 3 years, our nuclear arsenal will be unreliable. He said that in congressional testimony. Now it's been more than 3 years. So according to him, our nuclear stockpile is unreliable. So if an incident can be engineered where Russia can make its case, you know, that we didn't do it, just to send one nuclear weapon across the border into Poland or Lithuania hit an arms depot or hit some strategic site, some military site, and then cause an incident. Well, the Russians sit there and wait and see. Of course, the bomb would have to go back against Belarus and not Russia. So see, they get it, they bring it into another country, it doesn't hit them. They don't care about what happens to that country, right? So then they find out, does the West have a nuclear weapon that will actually detonate? And if we risk sending a weapon that we're not sure will work, it's like a nuclear test that fails. And so what do? Respond conventionally? And then they think, they didn't respond a nuke with a nuke. Let's try it again. And then they will gauge by that the possibility that we have been spontaneously disarmed, that we don't have a nuclear deterrent. In that event, they can lay claim to the whole world. And there doesn't need to be a nuclear war. There's just a test. So this is a concern. This scenario smacks of this to me. And, I've been mulling it over, discussing it with other people. I think this is something to talk about and think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Well, it's been just over 100 years, 1917, when the communists took over Russia. They immediately began their plan to take over the entire planet, didn't they?
Well, the whole idea of Karl Marx, even before they took over Russia, was a world revolution. It would begin in the industrialized countries. They were hoping, Marx thought it was going to begin in Germany, and then it would spread throughout Europe, and then it would, obviously spread throughout the world. They kept modifying their plans, but Lenin, basically, they formally organized under the Soviet Union a system connecting all the communist parties around the world, where Moscow was sort of the center for coordinating all of them. And that continues today, with China having entered into it and being a co-partner with the Russian parties. And it's still, when you see communist countries like Cuba, North Korea, Nicaragua, Venezuela appealing to Moscow, President Nicolas Maduro calling Putin his elder brother. He's a communist dictator, saying Putin and Xi are both his elder brothers. Basically saying, Maduro is saying that the leaders of the international communist movement that he's a part of, the leaders are the presidents of Russia and China, respectively. That means that we know the Communist Party officially rules in China. In Russia, it's underground, but it's still there. So that's what that's telling us. It's confirming things that defectors have said in the past.
Confirmation is always a good thing. Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Oh, just what would be, I see a question from Mr. Nyquist. What would be realistically the short-term effects of presently of a nuclear war? And what are the long-term effects of it? What is the real truth?
How big of a war?
I don't know, maybe a 12,000 megaton exchange.
Okay, I can tell you about a study that Australia did where you're talking about, a 30 to 40,000 megaton exchange back in 1980. The Australian government did a study, and they wanted to know what the long-term fallout effects would be for Australia. And the study determined that, there would be some small increase in cancers, leukemias and bone cancers in Australia from the long-term fallout. But they determined that the overall cancer rate in Australia would go down in a full-blown nuclear war because the import of tobacco from the U.S. would be cut off.
All right. Well, what about radiation? What about the other destructive effects of nuclear war?
Well, there's two forms of fallout in a nuclear war. There's a long-term fallout that is caused by the strontium-90 and the cesium-137 and the americium, going to the upper atmosphere and sort of falling out over the whole planet, little tiny particles that can get into people's bones and thyroids. That's a sort of a long-term hazard. And what all the studies showed back in the 80s when the nuclear arsenals were huge was that the long-term fallout
from a full-blown nuclear war in the Northern Hemisphere would be less than what we'd already experienced from the dirty bomb, the fission bomb testing in the 1950s and 40s. Those tests were put out a lot more long-term fallout than a full-blown hydrogen bomb. Where hydrogen bombs are fusion, they don't create, you know, they don't create as much of these long-term isotopic radiation. That's the small, you know, the long-term radiation effect. There's a short-term radiation effect from nuclear weapons if they are ground-bursted. Ground-bursting means that the fireball of a hydrogen bomb is 10 times hotter than the surface of the sun. And it melts any solid object that is within that fireball and turns it into like a plasma or vapor. And it gets carried up into the upper atmosphere and then it comes down. Those particles of solid matter become supercharged with up to 20,000 rads an hour, which is, you know, way past the lethal dose of radiation. That'll melt your insides in a matter of minutes. But that will fall downwind of a ground burst in an elliptical pattern. And it's fairly heavy. It'll come down. You know, it might go out, depending on the speed of the wind, it might go out, you know, 200-400 miles in a cone shape. But the thing is, that radiation, it dissipates within 13 to 18 days. That is, it's not radioactive. So it's only hot for a short period of time, directly downwind from groundburst targets. And you know what? Groundburst targets would be nuclear weapon storage sites, command and control bunkers, maybe nuclear missile silos. Peter Pry pointed out in his book that our nuclear missile silos are not properly hardened. So they can actually... The weapons are now precision enough, they can airburst over the silos, which is what they would want to do because of bomber fratricide. They would send bombers in to get the silos they missed from the missile strikes, and if they throw up radiation in the upper atmosphere, that will kill their own bomber pilots and crews, and they don't want to do that. So these are all technical issues in a nuclear war. So you could have a nuclear war where, like, Minnesota turns radioactive and maybe part of Wisconsin, because of the missile fields in North Dakota. And then maybe you've got some downwind from, you know, like Seattle, you know, the Bremerton base and some other places, so that you might have 10 million casualties in the United States, maybe 20 million, from a full-blown nuclear war where they're attacking our military infrastructure, which is what they would do. And that would be from radiation, mostly the short-term radiation and the immediate blast effects. Mostly radiation would kill people. But that would be bad to lose 20 million Americans, but it wouldn't destroy the country. You know, it wouldn't. Because the objective in a nuclear war is to destroy the other guy's nuclear strategic weapons, so then you could force them to their knees because you have strategic weapons and they don't have any. Then it's like, we're going to get Chicago next if you don't surrender, or New York or Washington. There might be cities that are attacked. Cities would be airburst attacked. There wouldn't be any real fallout from that. But it would be state capitals, maybe Washington, D.C., maybe the oil refineries down around Houston, places like that. But again, that wouldn't really kill that many people relative to the population. Does that answer your question?
A very comprehensive answer. Anything else, John?
Not immediately, but what about the long-term effects of all the physical destruction of buildings, power, infrastructure, and those kinds of things?
Well, you know, we dropped the equivalent in conventional ordnance on Germany of 600 atomic bombs during World War II.
20,000 killed.
They rebuilt their country. Herman Kahn led a team for the Air Force's think tank, the RAND Corporation, in 1960. The book that was produced was called On Thermonuclear War. They did intensive economic studies with teams of economists. They determined that if every major urban area in the United States was leveled by nuclear attacks, and that probably wouldn't happen in an actual nuclear war now, but if that happened, and they calculated, they projected to 1975 or 76, I forget, the U.S. economy, for the U.S. standard of living, would recover within 5 years, minus some luxury goods.
All right, we have a break. John, thank you for your call. A great call. We have a break. Call number 512-248-8252.
Einstein once said, Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we so fix bayonets. Ellis, wait, Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by Liberated Rocket Heaters. You wanna stay warm? Stay cozy? And save money next winter. The time to do that is right now with a $500 off sale until midnight the 29th. A wood-burning stove that has no smoke. Details at thelibertyman.com. You can place your order at my website or call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. Building with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. New articles written once or twice a week. His books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
A subscription to support the site. There's a PayPal button below every article or video.
I encourage people to do that because Jeff's work is so important. During the Trump administration, I was telling everybody that Jeff Nyquist should have a workstation in the West Wing of the White House. That's how much I regard his work. Very few human beings have sat across the interview table from as many high-level KGB defectors as Jeff has. And the ones that have were probably government agents that don't publish their knowledge, do they, Jeff?
Well, if people who work for government intelligence aren't supposed to write books, unless they have to ask special permission, actually.
Right.
Put out books. I would like to add, in the last caller, when I talked about the Herman Kahn study, the caveat was that for you to recover from a nuclear war, you're going to have to practice free market economics. You can't have a socialist government take over in a nuclear war and start controlling the economy. Then you won't recover from anything. But yeah, if you practice free market economics, you can build up a damaged economy very quickly. It's a look at the German economic miracle, as they called it. That was they were practicing the kind of economics that will build an economy up quickly. So, but all this socialism is not. This is one of the reasons why Russia and China are in trouble if there's a war, because they so much depend on help from the West. Their economies are likely not to recover, even if they don't receive heavy damage. They will damage their own economies by their own mobilization maneuvers. So,
absolutely. Well, the free market system is what makes things happen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically, look, if you study economics, what you realize is that it is the freedom to buy and sell that allows people to calculate all the economic knowledge of what people need and what needs to be built efficiently is dispersed throughout the market. And the main way to test the information is free, allowing the prices to naturally form. You know, if something is in demand, the price goes up. Entrepreneurs go in and build a factory to make it because they can see a chance to make money. And that's what basically powers the free economy, the fact that there's knowledge about what's needed and there's people who can make money filling the need, and it just happens. In a socialist economy, they're directing the resources, which means without, you know, paying attention to the price mechanism and the profit motive and incentive, they basically just wreck their own economy by malinvestment. That's just a short lesson on economics there.
All right. Well, Jeff, you have confidential sources around the world that you've developed over these past 37 years. For new listeners, Jeff had a different career goal as a young man. You wanted to be a professional teacher in the California public school system, didn't you, sir?
Well, that's what I started out trying to do, yeah.
And as you got closer to reaching that goal, you were devastated to find out that unless you became a Marxist, that just simply wasn't going to happen, was it?
Well, it was. I was encouraged to be a Marxist, but it was when I got into graduate school and to get a PhD in political science that the Marxists were really interested in recruiting me. And you know, if you don't take a certain girl to the dance, she's going to be mad at you, maybe.
Right.
And I wasn't going to take that girl to the dance. You know, the communists, you know, basically at one point I was told they want a commitment from you. And it's like, I gave them the wrong idea. I was friendly towards them and quiet and didn't say anything. And that was taken as I think like you do. And I had to tell them, no, I'm not a Marxist. I don't believe in that. And
right.
Then I was placed in a position of having to, you know, tell them, you know, in strong terms. When I was told to make Marxists out of students when teaching in college, that I wouldn't do it, that really brought an end to my career. And it's a slow death because they snipe at you and they do things to make sure you can't make a living. They put things in your file that are negative. They badmouth you at faculty meetings. So, yeah.
Right. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros's role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
Mr. Sandman, bring me dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
More here on Wednesday, the 19th day of April. My website is thelibertyman.com. The John Moore Ozark Symposium will be a lot of fun. My guest will be my live studio audience. We'll have breakfast together. We'll have dinner together. Plenty of one-on-one time for everybody to get their all their questions answered before we leave at the end of the week. A visit to Freedom Center USA in beautiful Lebanon, Missouri to meet Sam and see the world-class training facility. Leon Green will be with us at least one day. And if you want details, you can call my and make reservations. Call Betsy Murphy at 636-530-9502. We'd like to have a log home, either a one-room log cabin like Davy Crockett had 200 years ago, or a 6,000-square-foot log mansion such as featured in Yellowstone. The guys I work with will help you do that. Just give me a call. We'll get everything set up to get your custom log home kit. Last but not least, if you have pain issues, you need an Energy Cleaner. Sleep issues, same thing. Getting a fresh shipment Friday to get my backorders caught up And all the details are at my website. You can place your order right there using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. Yes, I do offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. And Jeff, we're hearing more and more, it seems like almost casual talk about World War III. That's very scary when people in positions of power and responsibility are talking so lightly about World War III, isn't it, sir?
Who's talking lightly about World War III?
Well, people in the Biden administration. I don't know the specific names, but offhand. But they're doing things that are certainly making World War III more likely, aren't they?
I don't see that so far. What would you think is making it more likely?
Well, bringing in weapons that into Ukraine that Russia has said won't be tolerated, and the 101st Airborne, for example, being in Poland, these things would be seen by Russia as being provocative, wouldn't they?
One light infantry division in Poland, which is a NATO country, that's provocative? No, I don't think so. And look, a year of war in Ukraine, and we didn't even send a single tank. A year of war in Ukraine, we didn't send a single airplane to Ukraine. We did not send them offensive weapons. We sent them like 12 to 20 HIMARS, you know, rocket launching, you know, rocket artillery. And we sent them ammunition and a few other things. We sent far less than the equipment we lost in Afghanistan. In fact, the equipment that we sent and the ammunition that we sent to Ukraine is not even sufficient enough for them to have confidence in their own defense. Everybody knows they're short of ammo. We're not sending enough. Everybody knows we haven't sent significant heavy weapons. We sent them defensive weapons. And by the way, it was the Trump administration that was sending the handheld anti-tank weapons to them. President Trump was the first one to send weapons. Russia has been threatening. Russia threatened Finland if they became a member of NATO. Finland became a member of NATO because they're afraid of being invaded by Russia. Russia has created the whole situation. They know they have. They're the ones that invaded their neighbor, not NATO. They're the ones that have escalated to full warfare, not NATO. If anything, NATO is just trying to hold the line on Ukraine and do something respectable. But we're not – I mean, look, how can we be threatening a nuclear war when we won't even build a new nuclear weapon?
Good question. Good question. Well, Finland is reinforcing – they have a shared border with Russia – and they're reinforcing that border, aren't they, sir?
What do you mean reinforcing it? There's been
they're building new fences and new defense sections along that border with Russia. That's what I've seen.
After Russian troops crossed into Ukraine, annexed Crimea, and started a war in Donbass under false colors in 2014, Finland started building up its military. And started having, you know, training their men in a large quantity. More recently, they reopened their nuclear blast and tunnel system. You know, Finland is ready to defend. And Sweden wants to join NATO, too. Turkey has been blocking that because they don't like certain anti-Islamic nature of the present Swedish government that is wants to stop Muslim immigration into Sweden, but right now Finland got in. Sweden will be the next to join. Sweden's a country that has been neutral since Napoleon, has not been involved in any war since Napoleon, and they now want to join an alliance. That's almost like Switzerland wanting to join an alliance. It's they'd only do it because they're afraid of the Russians, and that is not an irrational fear on their part.
There was a Finnish sniper named Simo Heha who killed hundreds of Russian soldiers as a sniper defending Finland. I'm trying to find the exact number here that he's given credit for. But over 500 enemy soldiers is is credited with killing. Finland did it as a small country. They did a stellar job defending against a much larger enemy, didn't they?
Yeah, they did rather remarkably. But it's the same situation with Ukraine. Ukraine is doing the same thing, and there may be a Ukrainian sniper that's going to exceed that record now. Ukrainian snipers are killing a lot of Russians. It's an astonishing number. It may be one of the largest causes of Russian casualties right now is snipers.
Well, at one time, the U.S. military had shut down the U.S. Army sniper and Marine sniper schools, but snipers have come back into vogue, haven't they, sir?
Well, they're very important now that the weapons are such that tanks are restricted to being mobile gun platforms, and that the tanks have to hang back. Infantry has become more important. Infantry's always been the queen of the battlefield, and right now it looks like artillery is king. Sometimes tanks are king. So the war in Ukraine has become a World War I type war, a positional warfare. And snipers are really important in positional warfare.
Well, a properly trained sniper with modern equipment can reliably shoot a 12-inch steel plate from 1 mile away. It's become routine to shoot a 12-inch steel plate from a mile away. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Ukrainians have very good sniper training. The Russians do not. The Russians really, their snipers, so-called, are really just marksmen. And so they're not able to compete on this battlefield. The Russians' main way of inflicting casualties is with artillery strikes. And, of course, the troops are dug in, that they don't necessarily kill everybody.
Well, Russian military, even before 1917, has been known to be in love with artillery. I've seen photographs of the muzzle-loading cannons from the 19th century. Those things were massive, weren't they?
Well, that was when gunnery was making big strides in the 19th century. But by the time you get to World War I, and you've got these modern howitzers, which are very similar to what we have today, the Russians, they saw that as their weapon. And as they could never get mastery of the air, they always had trouble with their air forces. The VVS, which was the Red Air Force in World War II, suffered disproportionate casualties that are almost incredible to the Germans. It's considered that Russia, even if it temporarily outnumbered NATO in the air, could only maintain air superiority for maybe a week or two at the most, and then their planes would be all shot down. And in this war here, they've been so skittish about using their air power because they failed to knock out the Ukrainian anti-aircraft that you really haven't seen much use of their air force. Their air force was basically air denial mission, and that artillery would provide the main strikes, whereas with NATO it's the opposite. We're weaker in artillery and we depend on air power to deliver the strikes. So that's a difference in military doctrine. So yeah, the Russians have more artillery attached to their brigades and divisions than NATO typically does, or the Ukrainians do.
Well, in my war in Vietnam, the U.S. Army and Marines both made extensive use of artillery, working in concert with air power. It was devastating to the enemy, absolutely devastating. We may or may not see a spring offensive once the ground dries up here in Ukraine. You have any updated thoughts on that, sir?
Well, I'm given to understand that Russia does not have the wherewithal to launch a spring offensive. That if there's going to be an offensive in the spring, it will be Ukrainian.
Okay. And what would the timeline be for the mud to be dried up to support the heavy equipment?
Depending on what the spring is, it's May or June, and it could be late June before the ground is reliably dry enough.
Right. Well, as I've said a number of times, Ukraine has some of the thickest, deepest, best topsoil for growing crops on the planet, and also, in certain times of year, some of the deepest and worst mud on the planet as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of the spring rains and the snow melt, which creates extra moisture that goes into the soil. They have a word for it. It's rasputitsa, And it's a time when, you know, typically many of the roads are even still mud roads or dirt roads. Well, they turn to into a quagmire and vehicles aren't usable. You even had this condition extend all the way to Poland when Poland was part of the Russian Empire. And so in Napoleon's first campaign in Poland, his army got terribly bogged down in mud, and they were just using horse-drawn wagons in those days. So anything with wheels is going to get stuck.
I can see something. A wagon wheel being 3 to 4 inches wide is trying to support a ton or two of wagon. Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We're at Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Jeff, I got a couple of questions for you. And I'm curious, if you just mentioned, you said that Russia, you know, and obviously you're correct, that Russia started this thing. What do you see their end game and the purpose of this? Do you think that Russia and China colluded over this with Taiwan for a pincer type move on us? And is it all, you think, finding out our weaknesses and exploratory? That's the first question. In preparation, literally, for a real, do you think it'll actually really be a nuclear war between, you know, us and Russia and China? That's the first question. And the second question is, you mentioned how little we had been sending to Ukraine, but where do you see all the billions of dollars that we have allocated out of our budget to that's for Ukraine? Where is it all went?
Well, my understanding from my Ukrainian sources is that, you know, most of it is, you know, humanitarian assistance. 3/4 of it is basically humanitarian. A lot of that is not reaching them. So some of it is, and some of the weapons that are being claimed to be sent there, they're not getting. And because they don't want to be cut off altogether by angering anyone, they show great appreciation. You know, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth, and they don't want to upset anybody. So they're just hoping by using diplomacy to get more. I think now your first question is about what is this all about. I had sources from Southeast Asia in May of 2020, after the pandemic was really rolling hot, that China had told its Southeast Asian partners, the Vietnamese, the Cambodians, the Laotians — these are communist regimes which are dominated at their Politburo level by Chinese agents — they were told that China and Russia were preparing for a war against the United States in the future, and that they needed to maintain a certain leadership cadre permanently in bunkers in case the Americans found out and launched a preemptive strike against the communist countries. That came out of Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia. Then I heard from Russian sources that the Chinese were telling the Russians, we want to start the war against America soon. But the Russians were saying, look, we're not ready. And you have the FSB papers where the same thing is basically talked about how the FSB economic staff analysts were asked to say, well, if there was a giant meteor strike hit the West, how would the Russian economy fare, right? Well, here's the problem. What do you mean a meteor striking in the West and destroying the West economy? How would the Russian economy fare? What kind of question is that? That's asking, basically, they're asking, if we nuke the West, would Russia's economy collapse? Because of the things we wouldn't be getting from the West anymore. And of course, the FSB staff was saying, well, yeah, our economy would collapse within so many months. And that's not what the Kremlin wanted to hear. So I think what the decision to invade Ukraine was to strengthen Russia's position, and they thought they could do it easily. And of course, they did it in collusion with China, because even a year before the invasion, China and Russia had announced its partnership and had been talking about it, you know, since 2020. But before the invasion, remember, on February 5th, when the Winter Olympics began in Beijing, Putin flew to Beijing, and they made a joint statement, and they talked about being the strongest, military combination since World War II, And Putin flew back and did what? He invaded Ukraine. See, that was, and that was obviously done with the Chinese. And then the Chinese began the biggest military buildup in the history of the world, according to General Laura Richardson of the Southern Command. That's how she recently described it, the military buildup in China. And we know that that last April, a year ago this month, the leadership of the Communist Party of China ordered a general mobilization for war, a war mobilization, which we have a 57-minute tape of a meeting about that in Guangdong that was held in May of last year. So we know.
I got one more question, John, if you don't mind
Well, hold on. We'll get your question. We're almost out of time. We'll be right back.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle, real quick, what's your question, sir?
Yep, got a quick question. So, Jeff, the Chinese, Chinese and the Russian culture both have a history of lying to their allies as well as their enemies. And I'm wondering if you see that playing into this alliance.
Well, I wouldn't blame Russian culture for lying to enemies. They do lie to foreigners. It is part of their culture. But it's communism. It's really communism, which is which is in at the helm. And the traditions, Lenin said treaties are like pie crust meant to be broken. Stalin said that an honest diplomat would be like wooden iron or dry water. You know, so the lying is part of their thing. And I must note those commercials. I don't know, John, if you have any say
about it. I don't have any control over them
at
all.
That anti-Semitic Patrick and Jeremy show, that the Jewish question and all that race stuff. Gosh, that's a terrible commercial to put in between me talking.
Well, I don't have any control over that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, do you see this playing into the Russia-China alliance? Then this lying of the culture.
You know, I think it's communist lying, and it's more devious than lying, because they've got this extensive disinformation narratives that they're manipulating different groups here in the West. And they've infiltrated both parties, Republican and Democrat, and their themes are spreading in our system to cause a civil war here. That's one of the things they're trying to do. And in Europe, they're trying to get us against each other, and they're trying to disrupt our society. And so the more we're divided, and by the way, if both sides of the political debate are disoriented about who their enemy is, see, the number one thing in politics is know who your enemy is and know who your friend is. And if the disinformation right. and false narratives have people confused and naming the wrong enemies and being diverted to the wrong subjects or interpretations, we're sunk, because you have to have clarity in order to have good strategy and to respond to what an enemy does. And we, so far, we haven't shown that we do have any strategy.
Okay. Thank you for, I know it's the end of the show. Thanks, John.
Okay, Carl, thank you for the call. Jeff, about 60 seconds to conclude your thoughts for the day, sir.
Yeah, well, it is a very serious problem. You can't fight an enemy until you have clarity in your own mind who that enemy is and what their objectives are. And it's very hard to understand, because the communists in 1991, they pretended to lose the Cold War. They went underground. We know this. It was all predicted by KGB defector Anatoly Galitzin.
Right.
Who said in 84, they have a long-range strategy. And unless you understand that long-range strategy that China and Russia have, and the whole communist bloc has, a fake Sino-Soviet split, a fake collapse of communism that has allowed them to infiltrate our system and to get all the technology from the West to have rearmed themselves and to build new nuclear arsenals with hypersonic missiles that we don't even have. Unless you understand that, you can't really interpret what's going on now.
That's right. Jeff, thank you. Well said. We appreciate it. That's it for the day. Get the medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.